Well, today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, last week we told you there might be a change coming in the way you rent a car, and indeed, returning a rental car just got a little more complicated.
At 3:20, Mark has one of those famous lists. This time it's 12 things that you shouldn't do when visiting Hawaii. You know, like wearing coconuts and with a skirt and all that, and you're a guy.
You think? One of our listeners today is going to win dinner for two at Ruth Chris Steakhouse. Just call in at 3:35 and tell us your favorite place to dine while away from home.
At 3:50, I have an interview with Nick Watt, host of the most interesting program, Watt's World. It's on the Travel Channel.
And in our Save the Best for Last segment, I relate a personal story about lost gift cards.
In the last days of the State Fair underway, people are parked all around the parking lot here and having a great time. It's a Sunday afternoon, a warm one too. We thank you so much for taking time out of your day to listen. The Travel Guys are next.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. I'm a traveling man, king of the road. Riding on the city of New Orleans.
With the show.
The Travel Guys on the radio, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. I'm Tom. To my left, Mark Hoffman, president, chief cook, and bottle washer for Sports Leisure Vacations. It's a pleasure to have you here. Mark, I hope you had a wonderful week.
I did. I did. I'm a little dizzy today.
Yeah, you've been telling me.
I got a little ear problem here, and I'm fine if I'm sitting down. Some people think I'm kind of a little bit dizzy on a permanent basis anyway, so it wouldn't surprise them to hear that that's a problem. But
we saved the listeners from Tom giving Mark instructions on how to do vertigo exercises.
How to deal with vertigo, yes, in case that happens to be the problem here. How was your week, Mr. Romano?
It was excellent. It was excellent. And so you'll know this is my last day of official work before I go on a 1 week vacation.
Oh, okay.
So San Antonio's coming to town.
When you retire from radio someday, the whole town will probably, they'll probably take all the stations off the air for a minute. Just because there won't be anybody to do the voiceover on any of the commercials.
Bottom line, I don't think that will ever happen. You know, I have a feeling that my retirement and my name in the obituary may occur at the same time.
At this exact same time? Yes. Yeah, yeah. So, all right. Well, we've got some good stories here, including something we told people last week was about to happen.
Is this the travel news?
Indeed it did. So let's roll with the travel news.
Music and okay, bring us up to date in the travel news. You were so slick, you just slid right in.
Last week we told folks that indeed car rental companies were talking about for folks who rent a car and only drive it a short distance, there's been some issues about whether or not the gas tank is full when it comes back, when it goes out.
Yes.
And so the car rental companies are trying to deal with this, and they had talked about, we suggested last week, that the companies were perhaps on the verge of making you show a receipt when you came back when you rented a car and drove it only a short distance. Indeed, Tuesday morning in my mail comes this from Hertz. Notice of change to Hertz Gold rental terms. A summary, beginning July the 15th, easy for me to say, there will be a new refueling option. You know, they always have a way of wording this that makes it sound like something good for you. For Hertz rentals in the United States, this express fuel option applies at select locations to rentals during which the entire distance driven is 75 miles or less. If you drive 75 miles or less and do not purchase gas, or purchase gas but fail to produce a receipt, a charge of $13.99 will be applied. If you drive 75 miles or less and produce a receipt of a fuel purchase made during your rental, the $13.99 charge will not be applied. So if you don't fill up if you drive less than 75 miles and you don't fill the car, they have always had this thing where they'll charge you $13.99. Now, if you come back and you can't produce a receipt that shows that you filled the tank and you drove less than 75 miles, they're going to charge you $13.99. Doesn't matter whether you put gas in the car or not.
Wow. Okay. And you think since Hertz has rolled this out,
about 20 more minutes from now, everybody else will probably have this exact same policy, because as soon as one guy does something like this, and really and truly, as we talked last week, you know, I said I didn't think it was all that unfair, and you said, but what about guaranteeing that the tank is full when I take it out?
There you go.
So what the car company is trying to do, and also I mentioned last week that some new cars now have fuel sensors that allow the car rental company or the driver of the car to know how many miles you've driven since the fuel was put in the car. So as we all know, sometimes you go to airports and there's car rental, there's a gas station right next to the airport with a very reasonable price. And sometimes you're in Orlando where they charge $5.99 a gallon close to the airport. Remember that if you're going to Orlando, $5.99, all the stations around the airport. So you've got a gas 20 miles out. So now you take it to the rental car company and they say, well, geez, dude.
You've driven a gallon.
Yeah. You owe us $5. So somehow in here, ultimately, if there's a gauge that shows how much fuel is in the car, that's what you'll need. But in this case, the car rental companies are saying, so if you rent a car now, this just hurts. But I can't imagine that this will be even a few days before everybody else will get in line. If you rent a car and you're not going to drive it very far and you put gas in the car, make sure you get a receipt, because if you don't, you're either going to have an argument or you're going to be out $14 or perhaps both.
When's the next time you're renting? Mine's in September.
The next time I'm renting, I will be picking up a car tomorrow night, but it won't be a Hertz car. It'll be a National car.
Well, report back.
Okay.
Let us know what you see when you see it.
I absolutely will. Okay, here's another really interesting story. We told you a few weeks ago that some of the airlines are being investigated by the Justice Department for perhaps price fixing and stuff like that. This is an entirely separate story. It appears that when the Amtrak crash occurred near Philadelphia a couple of months ago?
Sure.
Okay, so Amtrak was completely knocked out in that whole corridor, that New York to Washington, D.C. corridor, for about a week, maybe a week and a half, while they repaired the tracks. Well, it appears as though the airlines U.S. authorities are investigating possible price gouging by five American airlines while train service was disabled between New York and Washington after a deadly Amtrak crash in Philadelphia in May. The Transportation Department said Friday. The airlines allegedly raised fares beyond what you would normally expect in a Northeast corridor at a time when the Amtrak line was shut down.
Boy, okay. Wonder what that's going to cost them.
Yeah, you didn't cover your rear ends really good on that one, guys, did you?
Those kind of things are so easy to prove.
You think?
It can be so obvious.
And this was this came out on Friday, so there was no time for the airlines really to dispute this. So it'll be interesting what they say next week, but they may have gotten caught with their fingers in the cookie jar. One thing we want to tell folks about, there are lots of pitfalls that you can run into when you're buying airline tickets. But one good thing that you can take advantage of when you buy an airline ticket is a thing called a fare lock or a price lock.
A lock in the Panama Canal.
Exactly. Yes. Or at your home or something like that, where you can lock in the price.
Okay.
Let's say you go online, you spend 2 hours searching for airfares, you've got four people in your family, you're traveling in a few weeks.
Got it.
You have a hard time finding four seats in the configuration on the flights with the schedule that you want, you finally found it. But now you're afraid because it's a little different than what you and your wife agreed to, and she's not around, and you can't get to her for a few hours, and what are you going to do? Or maybe till the next day. Maybe there's something that you have to check with your work to make sure that those days will be available to you. You can do what's called a fare lock. United offers this on a 3 or a 7 day basis. Some third-party websites also offer it on a short-term basis. So you can lock the fare in. On United, you can even reserve the seats that you want, and they will stay reserved for the time of that fare lock. If you decide not to buy it, you lose the money that you put up, the $5, the $10, the $12 that you put up to hold the fare.
Awesome. So a fare lock for just a few dollars can hold that for up to how many days?
Well, up to 7 days with United, different policies with different people. The other Delta and American don't have something like this yet. United's had it for a couple of years, and as I mentioned, some of the third-party websites have it now. So that's another way, a way to be able to protect yourself, especially if there's a sale going on, something like that, and you're not sure. Mm-hmm. And remember, as we tell people regularly, if you buy an airline ticket, and something happens, you change your mind and you realize you cannot go
on any airline.
Any airline, you have 24 hours to cancel that ticket for any reason whatsoever. So you'd make sure you call the airline directly, give them the confirmation number, make sure you get a cancellation number and all of those sorts of things. But you are not liable. You have 24 hours to change your mind on any airline ticket, regardless of what anybody tells you. And those fare lock things can be something, if next time that comes up and you've got something that you're really attached to, but you're not ready to pull pull the trigger, take a look and see if there's a fare lock there. Priority deplaning. This is kind of interesting. You know, the airlines are charging everybody.
Priority deplaning.
They're charging money to people to get on the plane first.
Right.
What if they charged you money to get off the plane first?
I think some people would go with
the
that.
The airlines in their never-ending goal
they
to...
They may have some issues with policing that.
That's what I was thinking.
Especially, you know, you end up in the back of the plane and, well, you hold up a red...
Or maybe there's
you get to go off
there's
first.
Some kind of a gate, you know, behind first class that only lets people through that whose ticket activate the gate.
Oh my gosh!
You know, well, but listen to this. They asked millennials what would they be willing to pay for services they'd be willing to pay for extra on airplanes.
This off the plane.
This is a little bit scary because you know some of these could happen. 64% would pay extra for high speed Wi-Fi.
Sure.
50% would pay extra for in-seat charging for electronic devices. 31% would pay extra for texting capabilities. 22% would pay extra to deplane early.
Interesting.
So just be careful what you wish for, folks. Be careful with those surveys you fill out for the airlines because you may be giving them just the ammunition that they need. And finally, a few weeks ago, we told you that United Airlines was offering hackers up to 1 million frequent flyer miles if they would tell them what was wrong with their website. And indeed, we kind of laughed and said,
when you say what was wrong, meaning why they're able to get hacked?
Yeah, in other words, tell us where the holes are.
Right,
tell us where you can hack in and tell us what that is, and we'll give you some.
How'd that work out for them?
Well, United Airlines offered it, and some people thought it was just a gimmick to show that the airline took online security seriously. Not so, it turns out. Proof positive, United last week awarded the aforementioned mileage award, 1 million mileage plus miles, to a Florida-based online security professional. According to ThreatPost, a website published he discovered a remote code execution vulnerability on United's site and brought it to the airline's attention under the bug bounty program. So they figured that the miles are worth about $25,000. Dollars, and you can redeem them. He's thinking of redeeming them, the gentleman who won them, for a first-class trip around the world or 40 domestic trips.
Amazing.
So there you go. Free miles from United Airlines, and that's the travel news for today.
We are the Travel Guys on KFBK. By the way, Steve LaRosa was to join us this week. We promoted it last week for his rock and roll pilgrimage. Unfortunately, Steve had a family situation, wasn't able to join us today, so we're looking forward to having Steve next week. In the meantime, you know what I want?
What?
I want 12 things that I shouldn't do while I'm in Hawaii. I could use a list.
You think?
You know where I could get one of those?
I think I know where you can get one of those in about 3 minutes, and then after the news at the bottom of the hour in Steve's place, we are going to give away dinner for two at Ruth Chris Steakhouse.
Yummy.
Stay tuned for that. We are the Travel Guys on KFBK.
We are the Travel Guys on KFBK. Tom Romano along with Mark Hoffman, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Everything that you would like to know about the Travel Guys and follow along with each show is at TravelGuysRadio.com. And I might point out Travel Guys Radio podcasts are now available anywhere you go on iHeartRadio app.
Wow. And you can listen to us on streaming live on KFBK.com. If you're not in Sacramento, you can listen to
the iHeartRadio app.
On the iHeartRadio app. You know, if also I wanted to throw this out. If you've worked in the travel or hospitality industry and you have an interesting story to tell and you'd like to join us on the air, we would love to have you. You can go to TravelGuysRadio.com and there's a place there to fill out a little form. Just send us a note. And we would love to contact you and have you on the air. Or if your nonprofit organization has an event to announce or publicize, you can drop us a note and we'd be happy to help. Or if you need a speaker for a lunchtime, maybe a service club or something like that, and you'd like somebody to come out and talk a little bit about travel and have some fun, make people laugh, TravelGuysRadio.com, we would be happy to help you there. Thomas, I wanted to take a minute. This doesn't have a whole lot to do with travel. In fact, I don't think it has any. Well, I guess it does in a way.
Since when has that ever stopped us from talking about other stuff?
This has to do with life.
Yeah.
I have had a wonderful couple, Stan and Diana Gordon, who traveled with us for many years. And last year, Stan, who was known by a lot of the folks around town because he was the timer for boxing matches in town for many, many decades, passed away, and his wife survived him, and Diana made it a while longer and then passed away a couple of weeks ago, perhaps of one of those kinds of things where you suspect that the second person left died of a broken heart. But more importantly, the night after that Diana passed, her house was ransacked. And this, when I heard about it, I thought, you know, how terrible. Somebody dies, and then that very night, somebody breaks into the house, steals the jewelry, the papers. They stole her car. And to me, that's just a terrible way to disrespect somebody. But nonetheless, the world is full of people like that.
Just horrible.
And so when I mentioned this to Ramona Gooch, who is mm-hmm. one of our tour directors and oftentimes reports on the road for us here, she's up in the Canadian Rockies on a train ride right now. Ramona, who is a hospice minister when she's not being a tour director on the road, mm-hmm. told me, she said, well, you know, this happens a lot. And she says it happens particularly on the day of the funeral. Frequently, people will break into people's homes during the services because,
sadly enough, you know, that makes sense.
Yeah, it does, because it's published. And of course, you know, and this night the lady passed away, and I'm sure there was a coroner's wagon and there was a lot of commotion and stuff. People who lived in the neighborhood probably knew that this lady, something horrible had happened. And if you lived in the neighborhood, you knew that her husband was already gone. So maybe you figured out. To me, it's a despicable situation, but I mention it here because it happened to the family of somebody that I really care about, and I would hate to see it happen to somebody else. And so I guess the important thing is that when you're in one of those situations in a terrible time of loss and mourning and you're not really thinking straight, one thing you have to think about is protecting the property of the person who has passed, mm-hmm. and having someone stay in the house, hiring a security company,
right,
leaving the lights on, alerting the neighbors, I'm sure the sheriff's office and the police department know all about these things, because I'm sure this is not the first time this has happened. But it's just a word of caution to folks in a time when you wouldn't normally be thinking about this, and then you know how awful to lose somebody and then the next day to find out that somebody came back and took all of their physical possessions the day after they had passed away. So just if you encounter a situation like that, or you know someone who is in that situation,
right. I'm going to guess recommendation.
This is not just something that happens in Sacramento.
Sure.
I'm sure it's something that would happen in any place in the country. And we all get into those situations, and just, you know, having somebody stay around or having a security guard or something there for a period of time until things could be stabilized and you make sure that things are under control is really words of wisdom. And I hope that nobody else has to go through something like that.
Very good point. We're the Travel Guys, Mark and Tom here with you. And Mark, let's get to it. What do you got?
I have
12
got
things that you shouldn't do.
Yep.
When visiting Hawaii.
I love Hawaii as a destination.
I do. That's one of your favorite places of all time.
I'm going there in a couple of weeks to scout out a trip for Sports Leisure Vacations.
And I know at least one or two things that you are going to have on your list because you've talked about them in the past.
Oh, you think so, huh?
Yeah. Number one, you would say the thing that they shouldn't do is don't go to a luau.
Don't go. You know, that isn't on this list of 12 things, but it would absolutely be on my list. Don't go. Yeah, luau's are very commercialized presentations of Hawaii. They're very expensive. The markup is very big. People make a lot of money on luau's.
And you have an alternative to the luau to get that Hawaii experience.
To get the Hawaii. Oh, I do. Absolutely. If you're on the island of Maui, go to Ulalaina, which is the show that's the stage show that's produced three nights a week in downtown Lahaina. And you can get a ticket to the show and have a very nice dinner. For the price of what a luau would cost you. You're inside an air-conditioned theater and you're seeing people who are professional actors. Now, that's not to ding everybody who's worked in a luau in Hawaii.
Right, right. And if you've already booked your trip to Hawaii and you have a luau on it, just forget anything we said.
If the luau is free in the package, that's fine. But, you know, if you see that you can get a luau for $29 by going to a timeshare thing, take the helicopter flight instead.
And you shouldn't forget your sunscreen.
That's on the list. Very
right,
good.
And you shouldn't be talked into, unless you really want to, mm-hmm. wearing a coconut bra, pulling up your pants.
It's the second time you made a reference
skirt
to that today.
Yes. And over on the Big Island, there's a thing called Captain Beans.
Uh-huh.
And it's an excursion that leaves the dock.
Oh, I know all about this, Thomas.
Well, you know about
I've
beans.
Done this.
You've done the beans. Did you get the coconuts?
Would you believe that you and I are so old that Captain Beans is no more on the Big Island? It hasn't been for some time.
That's sad.
But they called it the booze cruise.
Yes, it was.
And you would get on, and they would pick out a few men from the audience. And while everybody was laughing and dancing and drinking and carrying on, they would take them in backstage, take off their shirts, put coconut shells and grass skirts on them, and bring them back and wigs, and bring them back out as hula girls, and which always got a huge roar from the audience involved. And yes,
I have.
It
pictures.
Sounds like you were somebody who was.
I did not do the dance, but I was there with my brother-in-law and my father-in-law, and I have. I have incriminating evidence. What else you got on your list?
We're talking about Hawaii and beaches. The one thing to remember when you go to Hawaii on this list, don't automatically opt for a beachside hotel and pay a big premium. Because in Hawaii, the beaches are public. So just like Oregon, the beaches belong to everybody. So all that Waikiki sand and stuff you see there doesn't belong to any hotel. Belongs to anybody who wants to go out there and stake a space for the day. So if you can get a hotel, there's a wonderful Hilton that's two blocks off of Waikiki. It's behind the Marriott on Waikiki for folks that have been there. And it's kind of a business hotel. The rooms are a little smaller. It's a little older. It's a nice high-rise hotel with a restaurant, full service. It's generally about $75 less than the Marriott, which sits right in front of it, which is just about the equal hotel. And the reason? You can't see the beach from there in most of the rooms. So if you were staying 5 nights... heck, that'd be $300 or $400 that you would be spending just for that view of the beach. So, you know, if you can pick it up for a song or, you know, it's an upgrade because you got status, that's one thing. But maybe you don't want to pay for it quite so much. And there are lots of vacation homes, this list points out. It also tells you about things not to do. Don't figure that you get around on public transportation in Hawaii. That unless you're on Oahu, if you're on the outside islands, you're going to need a rental car. And the other thing is that you really need to know when you're renting a car in Hawaii, If you have the opportunity to join their frequent traveler club or whatever, frequent renter club, before you get there, do it. Because the lines for picking up rental cars in Hawaii are legendary long.
Wow.
They can be 30 minutes to an hour easily. Mm-hmm. And if you've just gotten there and you're all ready to go, that's the worst thing, but you've got to have patience. If you rent from one of the smaller rental car companies and you don't have one of their super duper numbers that get you the fast track service, you're going to wait a long time in line. And that's where being a Hertz or an Avis and having Hertz Gold or Avis Gold or something like that, because you rent frequently, will be a huge difference. Don't eat out all the time in Hawaii. You know, I mean, local foods and stuff are fun. You can go to grocery stores and things and find all kinds of wonderful things. There's lots of little roadside stands and things in Hawaii. We call them food trucks here now, but they've been over in Hawaii forever and ever and ever. And people in Hawaii know which ones. You see a food truck by the side of the road in Hawaii with a big crowd by it, stop and see what they're offering. You know, don't automatically drive by. You mentioned don't skimp on the sunscreen. You're a lot closer to the sun there. And one last idea here is don't rent snorkels in Hawaii. You know, because a snorkel goes inside your mouth. Would you really share a partially eaten lifesaver with a stranger? I mean, even if we cleaned it up really well first, do you kind of see where this is going? Take your own snorkel gear. It's expensive to rent it in Hawaii, and it's a lot cleaner if you take your own.
They're almost disposable.
Things that you should definitely not do in Hawaii is rent snorkel gear.
Okay. Well, there we go. We are the Travel Guys. We're going to take a break for the news. When we come back, Mark's got some stuff to give away.
We're going to give away dinner for two at Ruth Chris. 921-1530 and 800-834-1530 are the numbers to call. You can get online. We're looking for where's your favorite place to eat when you're not at home, when you're traveling, your favorite restaurant when you're traveling.
All right. Welcome, everyone. The Travel Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations, is on the air every Sunday, 3 to 4 o'clock, and at travelguysradio.com.
You can. We are going to give away a dinner for two at Ruth Chris Steakhouse. Actually, we're going to give away $150 in Ruth Chris gift cards, and then what you do with them is your own business. If you can make that into more than two dinners, good luck to you. And everybody who gets through and gets to play gets a $5 gift certificate from C's Compliments of C's Candies. So,
and it's your favorite place to
Favorite place to dine on the road. I'm going on the road tomorrow, but I can't tell you where I'm going.
Oh yeah, you're going on one of those secret mystery.
Going on one of the mystery trip. Yes, exactly.
Are you actually going on
a
trip?
No, I'm going to create one of the trips. So
we'll have to talk more about how you pick those out. And
try to get me to tell you, because I'm not going to tell you where I'm going. And I'm not going to tell you where I've been when I come back next week.
You said it was west.
Well, and no, I didn't say it was west. How can you go west from here?
It was east then. Well, it was one of those two.
If you go west from here and you go very far, your feet are going to get wet.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Let's go to the phones here. And what's your favorite place to eat when you're not dying, when you're away from home? Let's see. First caller up here is Jose in Sacramento. Hi, Jose.
Hi.
Hey, buddy. Where is it you like to eat when you're away from home?
We like to go to Fisherman's Grotto in San Francisco.
Okay. Hey. Is that the only restaurant you've ever eaten at the Wharf down there?
We've eaten at a couple, but that was the first one we went to. And we almost didn't go back because the waiter had a cold and he kept sniffling. And my wife almost goes, let's get out of here. And I'm like, no, look at the view. And we decided to stay, and the food, well, it was awesome. We didn't get sick, so we kept going back.
Jose, when you go to the Grotto, what's your favorite thing to eat there?
Well, my wife loves the lobster, and I like the crab, so we always have those.
Okay. Jose, first time you've listened to the Travel Guys, or have you listened before?
I've listened before, yes.
Okay, what do you like about the program? Put you on the spot.
I like all the hints you give on the travel, the airlines. I mean, there are some things that you almost don't wish on your worst enemy, and it's kind of good to know what to watch out for.
Okay, and what anything you can do without?
I
kind of put Jose on the spot here, yeah. Tell me what's really bad about the program. That's okay, Jose. I'm just fishing around.
What he was looking for, Jose, was for you to say, well, you could do without that Tom guy.
Thanks, Jose. Appreciate the phone call. Let's go on down the line here, and let's get Beverly in Sacramento. Beverly says the Newport Cafe is someplace that she likes to eat. Newport as in Rhode Island, or Newport as in California?
It's in Newport, Oregon.
Oh, Oregon.
Yeah,
oh.
It's right on the coast. There's a whole lot of things to do. And the Newport Cafe, they have the best clam chowder in the world.
I was just in Newport.
Yeah, Mark, did you hit a sweet spot with Mark here, Mr. How about Mark? Have you been there?
Newport. I don't know the Newport Cafe. So keep Beverly. Where is this place, in Old Town now? Or
No. It's right on the main street. It's nothing fancy at all, but there's always a crowd inside. And the rest of the food is really good. The seafood, and they have everything there. It's just delicious.
Now, I have to ask you, Nancy, are you, is there a particular,
Beverly,
in regards to clam chowder, what is it that you like? You like lots of clams or lots of potatoes. What about this clam chowder that's special?
And it's thick, it's creamy. The seasonings in it is just phenomenal. It's just great. Anyway, it's not watery or runny or goop. I don't know. It's just
not goopy.
Really good.
thank you, Beverly. Let's stay with the theme here. What do you like about the Travel Guys?
Well, I like all the hints. Like you were talking about Hawaii just recently, and I identified with all of that, and I agreed with it because we have rented a car and we go to those little places. They have this. You want me to tell you the name of the place? Oh, I can, huh? Because there's a restaurant.
Sure.
It's called, it's on the Waikiki on the main island or whatever. Whatever, wherever Waikiki is, it's on that island. And it's called Giovanni's. And it's one of those wagons, and they have the best garlic shrimp, garlic scampi.
I know exactly. You're talking about downtown Waikiki, right?
No, we took our car and was around as we went toward the island.
Oh, okay, so there. Over on the north side.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's a couple of food trucks in downtown Waikiki, one of which does garlic shrimp.
Yeah, and we ate there like four times. It is just heavenly. So anyway, I identified with that.
Absolutely. Well, thank you very much. There's some great tips there, Beverly in Sacramento. We're just going through and talking to folks about places they like to eat on the road, and somebody's going to win a $150 Ruth Chris gift card.
Just far enough away from dinner time to get everybody interested in this.
David in Sacramento. He's got this might be a place on Maui. David, is it Mama's Fish House on Maui you're talking about?
Mama's Fish House, Paia Side, North Shore.
Ah,
yes,
and,
sir.
You know, that's a place I would love to be able to take my groups to when we go to Maui, but they won't take reservations for parties of more than eight people because they say it messes up the restaurant and changes the atmosphere.
I actually am very close with the president of Mama's Fish House.
Uh-huh.
She's a good friend of mine.
What's the what's the best thing? Now, Mama's Fish House, for those of you who haven't been to Hawaii, is on Maui, and it's not too far from the airport. It's just a few, very few minutes from the airport. It's a it's a place that's hard to get into sometimes. What's your favorite thing to eat there?
You know, I had a macadamia nut crusted opaka paka.
Oof.
That was to die for.
Yeah.
It was, yeah, it was so good. It just flaky. You get a little bit of crunch and then also a little sweetness from the macadamia nut. Just amazing.
Man, I tell you, just macadamia nut encrusted anything, Tom, would be pretty good.
I think David was saying he's really really close with the owner. They're going to set you and your tour group up with a big group that could go there.
I see.
I definitely should get you guys in there.
Should he call the office?
Yeah. we'll hang on to David's information here. Let's move on.
David.
Thanks, David. That was a great tip. Mary in Sacramento is next. Mary says she likes to go. She's got a favorite place in New York City.
Yeah. What, Mary?
Hi.
What you got?
We love to go to Ruth Chris off of Times Square.
Aha! So that would be a direct lobby for these Ruth Chris. What do you like at Ruth Chris? What's the your favorite thing to get there?
We like to get the steak and the ahi tuna, but we like it because when we go there, the service is good and the people are very friendly. And we go there sometimes for dinner and sometimes for the happy hour, and then go to the place.
Now, have you been to the Ruth Chris here in Sacramento? Anywhere else? Is the New York one any different?
And the Pavilion.
Yeah, okay. Is the one in New York better, different?
It's my favorite.
Oh, I see.
Perhaps slightly more expensive.
Right, but not always, no.
Not for the happy hour.
And sometimes we go for the happy hour and then to the place, so it's good service and it's a good location. You just walk out, go to your place and pick up your tickets and
out, so you can make it a whole Broadway evening out of it. Mary, thank you. Another good idea. Another tip we're taking. Where you like to eat on the road? Let's go to line two here. Line two, it says Clayton. Is this a Clayton that I know? Is this a, hello there, Clayton?
Hello, Clayton. Line two.
Yes. Hi, Tom and Mark. It's Clayton calling from the colorful Mystery Coast.
Oh, you're Clayton. Clayton, you're over there in Washington, right?
You don't know where he is.
Where did you say you were?
I can't really say where I am.
Where are you?
Mystery Coast.
Yeah, the mystery what?
Clayton is out. Remember, I told you that I'm going out next week to do a mystery.
And he's on.
He's actually doing a scouting trip. Well, we're building our catalog.
Scouting a trip. You're up north, right, Clayton?
Well, it's somewhere in the United States. There's no passport required.
Well, there you go.
you texted a spectacular picture. It looked like a beach earlier there. Of course, it's a coastal mystery tour.
What is a coast without sand and beaches?
Uh-huh. So what's the coolest thing that you found to put on this mystery tour of yours that goes next spring?
The coolest thing I found so far?
Yeah.
Well,
he's going to give it away.
I have to say this very carefully. Definitely some awesome fresh seafood.
Uh-huh.
And some beautiful views of the sun either rising or setting over some
all right.
big
All right, we got to get back to work here, Clayton. Let me ask you one thing. Where's your favorite place to eat when you're on the road?
Waffle House. Scattered, smothered, and covered, baby. It's awesome.
Oh, God. Waffle House. How low have we gone? Clayton Whitehead, one of our road reporters, thank you for giving us a call. Let's see if we can get one more in here before we move along. Mary Kay in Orangevale has a special place she likes to eat on the road.
Hi, guys. Yeah, I'm calling about a restaurant. It's called the Monkey Pod.
Okay.
There's one on Maui in Wailea, and there's another on Oahu in Ko'olina.
And what do they...
They're fabulous.
What do they serve, Mary Kay?
Fresh seafood, open-air seating, beautiful sunsets, and fantastic pie for dessert. Cream pies, banana cream pies, chocolate cream pies, coconut cream pies. You can't go wrong.
Do you know, Hawaii, they do pies really well in Hawaii.
They do.
On Maui, there's a little pie shop, Leona's Pie Place. It's just around, well, I can't really describe
it's the
it.
Humidity.
Yeah, you think?
It's the humidity.
Well, it's
I don't know.
It's the humidity. What are you talking about? Mary Kay, Mary-Kate, so there's two of them in Hawaii that you like?
Yes. I don't know if they're owned by the same man, but yeah, there's one on Maui and there's one on Oahu, and I think he does own them both.
All right. Well, I'm going to be there next week. I'm going to look up the monkey pod on Oahu. Thank you, Mary, for the tip. All right. So some of our listeners, so that's some pretty good tips
there.
That's
some great stuff. Monkey pod, though, kind of disturbs me. What kind of a name is that for a restaurant?
Maybe we should do a whole program where we had folks just call in and give us their tips about where to eat. You know, we could write all these things down. Heck, we could write a book practically of all
pretty
of these.
Now
the thing we have to decide here with Luis and everybody in the station's help is during the next break is who wins the $150 Ruth Chris gift certificate from all the folks who called in. So thanks to those of you who called in. And when we come back after the break, Tom sat down with one of the hosts of one of the programs on the Travel Channel and had a really great interview with him last week. We have that for you next on the Travel Guys.
Tom and Mark, the Travel Guys here on KFBK, and I got a special guest from the Travel Channel on the air with us today, Nick Watt. Now, Nick is an award-winning journalist and producer and also a war correspondent, and this has got to be a diversion, if you will, from being a war correspondent. He is the host of a brand new series on the Travel Channel called Watt's World, and welcome to the Travel Guys, Nick.
Thanks a lot, Tom. Good to be here.
I understand in your series, you're going to find some answers to questions such as, are the French really that rude? Why do Coloradoans love pot? And why is Albania so weird? Now, tell me what Watt's World is all about, if you would.
Well, so those questions will let you know immediately that this is not war reporting. This is not serious journalism. This is a departure. This is a reinvention. This is kind of, Travel Channel said, you know, be who you are. Go to places you want to go. Ask the questions you want to ask. Albania is a place that's fascinating ever since I was a five-year-old kid. So I said to Travel Channel, you know, Albanians have 27 words for mustache. And our EP of Travel Channel said, sold, go, done. You know, that was kind of how it worked. And it was liberating. It was great fun. And, you know, at the end of it all, we did learn something, but it was mainly, wow, I can't believe they let us do this. Let's have the best fun we can, and let's make a great TV show.
Now, I had a chance to see a preview of your trip to Portland. You're very interactive, Nick. You like to get involved in the story and try some things. So over the 13-week series, what couple of things did you enjoy trying and discovering the most?
Strangely, one of the things I enjoyed most was joining a sort of division of the Paris Police Department, which is called the Urine Sauvage Division. They go out on the streets of Paris, which has a massive problem with public urination, and they catch people peeing in the street. And that was strangely one of the most fun, exciting, because these guys act like real cops. They've got trench coats, they flash badges, and it's all about public urination. I hesitate to say the serious reason we were doing this. Yeah. To me, it was to try and shatter this myth that the French are all more sophisticated than the rest of us, that they dress better, eat better, you know, make better lovers. And the fact that we caught them, and the fact that they have a massive problem with public urination humanizes the French, makes me like them more.
Of all the different places that you traveled during this series, which one did you enjoy the most and were surprised by what you found?
Well, I'd say I was surprised every single place I went, because part of my planning for this show was actually not to plan too much and not to read too much about a place so that I would be surprised. Obviously, we did a little bit of planning in advance and, you know, worked some stuff out. But, you know, I wanted to be surprised at places. You know, and in Portland, I was surprised that I liked being cuddled by a professional cuddler. In Dominica, I was surprised that the boiling lake actually boiled. The major disappointment for me, I've always been obsessed with something called the mountain chicken, which is a frog the size of a chicken.
Oh, really?
And I looked for it.
Yeah.
It exists in only two islands in the world. We went to both of those islands hunting for the mountain chicken.
Yeah.
I'm not going to tell you what happened.
Well, Nick, color me surprised about that. My guest is Nick Watt. The show is Watt's World. It's on the Travel Channel every Tuesday, 7 to 8 o'clock. Nick, you got any California adventures?
We did. We went to Mount Shasta, which is a place I've always wanted to go to. We went thinking that we'd just film like a little portion of a show there. We were there for 36 hours, filmed an entire show because it was so awesome. And the people we met were so fantastic, so out there, so deeply entrenched in their what we would think sort of strange beliefs. So that was one of the highlights, I would say, camping on the side of Mount Shasta with Jesse, the UFO enthusiast, trying to take pictures of aliens in the smoke from our campfire was definitely a highlight. We also did a show in Los Angeles. I now live in Los Angeles, and the idea was the crew that I was traveling with throughout the series all came from New York. All friends of mine came from New York, and they like to get down on L.A. because they think New York's the only place to live in the world. So the idea was we'd come to L.A. and find something that proves that L.A. is not just a vacuous desert of shattered dreams that these New Yorkers think it is. So part of that show was I tried to get a job as an extra on a TV show. So many people here, you know, come to L.A. to try and make it onto the screen. Right. Can they actually make it? And I felt that if we could prove that people can actually make it, then L.A. is not such a bad place after all. We went foraging for wild food. We had a great time in L.A. And I think I convinced my crew members that it's not a bad place.
Nick Watt, Watt's World, the Travel Channel new series. Nick, I know that this is all in the can already, and you're probably off to a next adventure. What would that be?
Well, if we get a second season, I am planning on Greenland, Bolivia, Ethiopia, and Texas. I like Texas. I like the hat. I like the heat. And I want to find out why they would want to possibly leave America.
Make sure you stop by the Alamo for me, would you? And see if you can find Pee Wee Herman's bike in the basement of the Alamo, if you remember that movie.
I don't. I have to watch it.
All right, buddy. Hey, thank you so much. It's Nick Watt, Watt's World, Tuesdays on the Travel Channel.
I think that that was one of the best interviews. Every once in a while, you get one of these guys from the Travel Channel. That was really, I mean, I'm Tuesday night, I'm watching the program now.
Awesome, awesome. So, yeah, it was a lot of fun. And he did Portland. You missed it last week. Probably be on reruns. You would have enjoyed that.
Oh, wow. Well, keeping Portland.
Looking for
Portland
weird people
all
in
right,
Portland.
Listen, we had a lot of good folks who called in and gave us their tips. Maybe that's one of our best call-in segments ever, I thought. And we voted four times during the break here with the staff that's in the station, and we can't get off the tie. So we've got David with Mama's Fish House and Beverly with the Newport stuff. So we're going to flip a coin, and if it's heads, it's Beverly, and if it's tails, it's David.
Okay.
All right.
Beverly gets heads. Let me write this
Beverly
down.
Beverly gets heads.
Okay.
Heads. David gets tails.
Tails.
We can't think of any other way to resolve this.
Everybody that called in gets
everybody
what?
Who calls in gets a $5 See's Candy certificate. Okay. So thank everyone who called. And here goes the flip.
All right.
All right. Heads, Beverly. Tails, David.
Tails.
It's tails. David, you have one dinner for two at Ruth Chris Steakhouse. Beverly, thank you for the Newport ideas. I'm going to use it the next time I go up there. And so you've won. We'll get the... Luis will give you a call, and we'll get those out to you. Very quickly, Sports Leisure winner of the week. Didn't have a winner last week. $200 travel certificate this week goes to someone who was on the Covered Bridges and Oregon Coast trip that went to Newport. How
awesome.
About that?
Yeah.
It's the Newport day here on the Travel Guys. Joyce Moss. Joyce, if you're listening, call Sports Leisure Vacations Monday or Tuesday to claim your $200 prize. Joyce Moss, who went with us on the Covered Bridges and Oregon Coast trip. Over 300 people, Thomas, signed up for Sports Leisure Vacations Tour Preview Day on October the 3rd, next week.
Wow.
Last week was the first week you could sign up. So lots of space available. Give our office a call. If you are an active, mature traveler and you want to find out about some great trips from Sacramento or anywhere else in California, why give us a call at 361-TOUR tomorrow, and we will sign you up. So what's on your schedule for this week, Mr. Ramon?
Well, let's see. We're going to do some Napa. Uh-huh. We're doing some Giants baseball.
Oh, you've got family in town.
I do.
You're going
Amanda,
on vacation. You're going to be all over the place.
We are. It's all going to be Northern California special stuff.
Well, have a good
Don't
time.
Don't have to go far to have a good time in
have
California.
Have a good time. Get the Giants a win next week when you go. And they're in the ninth inning right now. Still up 4-3 on the A's. You have a great week. We are the Travel Guys. See you next Sunday at 3 o'clock.